Hi, and welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I'm so glad you could join us today. We've got an incredible program lined up for you. I hope you stay tuned for the entire broadcast. First of all, we're going to take a look at the economy, and I promise you, we're going to find some good news in there somewhere. We're going to have to look hard, but we're going to find some good news for you. Secondly, I'm going to talk to Rob West of Kingdom Advisors. Rob's going to give us some advice on investing in this roller coaster market we're in right now. I'm going to ask him some hard questions like, should we buy, sell, or maybe just capitulate and get out of it altogether? And then I'm going to ask you to answer a very simple trivia question. Here it is. Is Facebook A, a complete waste of time? B, a great way to connect with your friends and family? Or C, the newest way to get hired in a tough job market? Well, you'll have to wait till the end of the program till we get to that. Now, let's take a look at the economy. There's no shortage of bad economic news this past week, but maybe the most disappointing news was in the housing market. That sector continues to drag down the entire economy. As you've heard me say before, houses are the largest thing that we purchase in a consumer-driven economy, the largest impact on the economy, because about 350 other people are employed every time a new home is sold. So when new homes aren't selling, that impacts all the other job sectors. The Commerce Department announced that new home sales fell a full percentage point in July, down to 298,000 units. Now, last year in July, 323,000 new homes were sold, and that was the worst year since 1963, according to Fox News. If this present trend continues, 2011 could shape up to be the worst year for housing sales since the Great Depression. So obviously, there's a lot of acute pain out there. But while the new homes sold were down sharply, there was a bright spot, and this is the good news about the economy I want you to realize. Overall home prices increased by nearly 1% in June. That's the biggest jump since September of 2005. You know why that's good news? If you're underwater on your mortgage and prices are going up, it's going to take some of the pressure off of you. There was one more encouraging sign that the economy could actually avoid slipping into another technical recession. Orders for big-ticket durable goods rose more than expected in July, up 4%, and that's the biggest jump in the last 4 months. Analysts say that was due to an increased demand for aircraft. That was one of the main reasons that durable good orders jumped. So maybe those private jet sales aren't so evil after all. Now, meanwhile on Wall Street, it's been a wild ride, as I said in the opening. We had dire warnings the markets would tumble if the debt ceiling wasn't raised. So it was raised, and the markets tumbled, even though we were told they would tumble if it wasn't raised. Then the markets recovered somewhat and tumbled again. The Dow was down 500, then up 400. It's been a roller coaster ride. And then last week, mysteriously, the market seemed to stabilize and even made modest gains. You know what the reason is, or at least the rationale, which I question this idea that there's a single cause or a single effect associated with the market's up or down reaction. Fox News is speculating that the markets are calming because Wall Street is sensing that Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke is about to do it again. They're thinking he's going to pull the trigger on another round of quantitative easing, otherwise known as printing money out of thin air, buying into the premise that if we can just put more money into the system, then everything will get better because people will go back to spending like there's no tomorrow. Well, joining us now is Rob West of Kingdom Advisors. Rob, welcome to Money Life.
Chuck, it's great to be back with you.
And it's always good to have you. I know that our listeners and viewers both love to have you, and today you're joining us by phone. And I'd like you to give us a simple definition of quantitative easing. I called it printing money out of thin air, but you probably got a better definition than that.
That's about right. Unfortunately, it's a term most Americans are now familiar with. That wasn't the case a few years ago. I'll say, as long as you understand, I'm no economist, Chuck. I would say it's the unconventional monetary policy, and it's the electronic equivalent of starting up the Fed's printing presses to create money for buying financial assets in the market. Now, in this case, we're talking about U.S. Treasury bonds, and the idea behind it is to stimulate our economy.
Yeah, so we're basically buying our own debt, creating a note to ourselves, so we're pouring more money into the system. Why do you think that's a bad idea, Ron?
Well, remember, when this happened in 2009, the first round in this latest round of economic uncertainty and the challenges we've had, it was done to shore up the economy when we were on the brink. And, you know, we reduced interest rates to near zero, and we injected billions of dollars of liquidity into the system, which caused the markets to rocket higher. Now, here's the downside, though, Chuck. It's that part that affects Main Street in the form of rising commodity prices like food and energy, which now consume a much larger percentage of our household budget than in times past. The other issue, and I think this is the most important one, is there's one more example of dealing with the current challenges in this nation with a short-term fix versus addressing the real underlying issues. And as you know, Chuck, this doesn't work with the average family, and it doesn't work with the U.S. economy either.
Well, it seems like we're just heaping more debt on future generations, and we're obliterating the value of our dollar for short-term gain. But why do investors like it when the money supply increases? In other words, why does the market respond favorably to this as opposed to saying, this is a bad idea, let's stop the nonsense?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, as you correctly point out. An increase in the money supply works to lower interest rates, which, again, are already at near zero levels now, but that spurs investment as we have this liquidity because it puts more money in the hands of consumers, making them feel wealthier and thus stimulating spending. Businesses respond to increased sales by ordering more raw materials and increased production, but that liquidity injection gives investors funds to put in riskier assets like stocks, which does pump up, at least in the short term, the stock market.
But let's talk about people who have money set aside for retirement. And we even have listeners and viewers who actually are trying to live off of their passive income on their retirement funds, and they're getting zero return on those funds. You would have to have millions of dollars set aside to be able to live on a return on your retirement funds today, unless you're taking great risk. How do we help calm the fears of those who are looking to retirement or are trying to live out of their retirement funds right now?
Yeah. Well, if you're trying to live off of retirement funds with fixed assets the way they are right now and fixed investments with interest rates at levels that we haven't seen in decades, what we're talking about is a very challenging situation, as you know. And really the only thing you can do at this point is to come back to the fact that this situation didn't catch God by surprise. You know, God is our provider and our protector. And here's the thing, he will never delegate that role to anyone else. And so I think it's a matter of looking at what we can control, and that is what God's entrusted to us. And as Stuart's saying, am I doing everything I can possibly do to follow the biblical admonition of money management? Am I making sure that I'm spending less than I'm earning? Am I, you know, getting rid of debt? Now, if you're already in that situation where you're living on a fixed income and you're living off of those investments, that can be challenging. Don't hear me say that I'm minimizing that in any way, but what I am saying is that God can be trusted, and if we follow his model, he will provide for us.
Yeah, now let's talk about some specifics. So that really falls into our part or our responsibility. Yep. Who should move their money into stocks and maybe even indexed mutual funds right now, and who should stay away from that?
Well, you know, we talk about a sequential plan of investing, and I think that's so critical that we plan our investment strategy as opposed to just responding to alternatives that are presenting to us. And so, as we've talked about many times, and I know you talk about a lot, Chuck, if we look at a sequential strategy of investing, it begins with eliminating that consumer debt, that credit card debt. It then moves into setting aside at least 1 month's living expenses and hopefully getting it up even beyond that. Then we're talking about investing between 3 to 6 months' expenses in an interest-bearing money market fund. Beyond that, now we're saving for major purchases. It's only then that we're accumulating to meet those long-term goals. So we're talking about money that's not needed for 5 years. We're talking about following biblical principles of investing, including monitoring your anxiety level and a long-term perspective and diversification. And I think this is critical, seeking wise counsel where it's needed.
Well, Rob, I know this wasn't planned to ask you this, but you know that gold is on everybody's mind. And contrary to what I expected, gold actually took a pretty major swing downward recently. Is gold the big bubble right now?
Well, I think in many ways you could say that it is. It's the fear trade, and so there's a lot of fear and uncertainty out there right now. Gold has had a major run. And so if you were to just look at it in terms of you want to buy low and sell high, Chuck, we obviously, it doesn't appear to be a good time to get in. And I would say be very careful about trying to chase something like that. As we've said many times in the past that, you know, really, if you want to move into that asset class with the precious metals, I would not do more than 10%, and I would make sure that you're properly diversified. And right now, if you really wanted to take a position there, and let's say for you, the allocation was 10%, don't buy more than half of that position now, because you've got to acknowledge what we've seen in terms of the run-up in the price of gold, for sure.
Yeah, and my big fear is that once gold settles down and we get out of the fear mode that we're in today, it could lock in at a very low price for 200 years and not change.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, that's going to be a terrible blow for people who get in at the height of its pricing right now. Well, Rob, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your very practical and biblical advice today.
Well, it's great to be with you as well, Chuck.
Rob West is the training director for Kingdom Advisors, a community of Christian financial professionals integrating their faith and practice for kingdom impact. And you can find out more about them at kingdomadvisors.org. Well, let's go to that trivia question that I opened the program with. Is Facebook a complete waste of time? But that gets a lot of votes. B, a great way to connect with your family or friends, and that gets a lot of votes. Or C, the newest way to get recruited into your dream job. What do you say? Well, I got to admit, it's sort of a trick question, because the real answer is all of the above. It just depends on how you use it. It can be a waste of time. It can be a great way to connect with family or friends. And you can actually get recruited into your dream job if you use Facebook in the right way. It turns out that recruiters actually like Facebook. I hope you get the pun of that remark. It's a new way of identifying promising job candidates, according to an article at MarketWatch. LinkedIn has been the go-to site for recruiters, but now they're realizing that a lot of the people they want to hire spend more time on Facebook than on LinkedIn. So they're reaching out directly to promising candidates that they're finding on Facebook. A lot of companies now have their own Facebook pages, and they're actually posting jobs hoping to lure in quality candidates. Some recruiters are even lurking around in discussion groups to find just the right person for a special job opening. And sometimes they may not even have a job available right now, but they're trying to establish relationships with quality candidates should something open up in their company later. So here's my advice. Be more careful than ever not to put anything on your Facebook page that you don't want to have to explain in your next job interview. And I have to admit, before we hire people, especially young people today, we take a look at their Facebook page, not only to determine what they're like in the event we may not want them, but what they are like to learn more about them on the positive side. I recommend that you keep your Facebook side far more professional and a whole lot less about the personal or party side of your life, and you should be okay. Now, we're out of time for today's program, but I just want to remind you about my new book, The Root of Riches, What If Everything You Think About Money Is Wrong, is now available. You can order it at crown.org, and if you've already picked up a copy, we'd love to hear from you, and may I recommend that you consider using it in your small group studies this fall as you lead people at church, in your apartment complexes, or maybe even over a lunch at work. You can let us know on Facebook how you're doing and what we can do to better serve you. And who knows, while you're on Facebook, a recruiter may be watching. Thanks for being with us today. You've been listening to Money Life. We'll see you again next time.